You will not find the word capitalism in Scripture, nor will you find the words private property. But what you do find is a worldview in which the God of heaven give good things to the sons of men. As James tells us, every good thing and every good thing is the character of a gift, and it comes from the Father of lights. And one of the good things that God gives to his children oftentimes is the power to get wealth. This is what he told the Israelites as they were coming into the land of Canaan. He told them that he was going to give them houses that they had not built and orchards that they had not planted and fields that they had not planted. He was going to give them many good things, and he was going to give them the power to get wealth. Now, this was a contrast from the way that he dealt with them when they were in the desert, in which he treated them like a little toddler, like a small child. He hovered over them. He took them out where they would have no distractions, where all of life would be focused in on the relationship between him and them, where they would learn where all things come from. All things come from God. They would learn the truth that they're dependent upon God for every beat of their heart, for every breath of their lungs, and from every morsel of food or drink of water that they take. Now, he wanted them to remember that when he's bringing them into the land, when he's bringing them to maturity. He's not going to hover over them like a toddler the same way. He wants them now to grow up. And so he's going to give them the power to get wealth. That's the way he puts it. In other words, he's going to bless them. He's going to be present just as much as he was before, but now he's going to be working indirectly through them, through their own labors, through their own vocations, to bless them, and they are going to be fed, they're going to have drink, and they're going to have a lot of things beyond basic necessities as a result. But he wants them to remember that they're just as dependent as they were before. And that even though he gives them the power to get wealth, and it looks like good things are coming to them from some other source, they're not. They're coming from him just as directly as if he had brought water from a rock or manna from heaven. And he creates a picture of the blessed society. And one of the ways that he describes the picture of the blessed society is that of having every family under their own vine and fig tree. So again, he doesn't use the words private property, but he does use the idea of everyone having their own house, having their own fields, their own orchards, being blessed, everybody being able to sit in the shade of their own vine and fig tree, enjoy their own fruit, enjoy all the good things God has given them. And then the implication there is that they are to be generous with one another. They are to share what God has given them with others. They invite other people over. You also have the concept where God says, do not move the ancient boundary. In other words, don't take it upon yourself to change what God has given to somebody else and make it what now is given to you. That's not your decision, according to God. You honor what God has given to somebody else. You do not unjustly take it. You acknowledge his providence and sovereignty in all of these things. Now, this is not a health and welfare gospel, because the Bible also tells us that sometimes God takes the most godliest of his children and the most faithful of his children, and he places them in hardship, and many times that hardship includes poverty. We can see in the life of Joseph, you can see in the life of Daniel and many others, that in spite of tremendous faithfulness to God, he places them in a time of poverty. And what we can see is that in a fallen world, sometimes poverty is the blessing of God. And sometimes wealth is the curse of God, because we see sometimes with the most ungodly of people, God gives them wealth. He seems to be blessing them when all he is really doing is setting them up. The way the Bible pictures it, and particularly in the book of Ecclesiastes, is that if what we're getting is not coming from the blessing of God, it doesn't matter how much we have, because it's like having your house filled with fine things, fine foods, the best foods in the world, but you don't have any taste buds. You have all this stuff, and you can't taste it. Some of you children remember you've seen the Pirates of the Caribbean series, and you remember in the second episode you had the captain and the cursed pirates on the Black Pearl. And they could eat and they drink, and they never died. They couldn't die, but they couldn't taste anything. And they hated life. It was hell on earth because they couldn't taste. And so that's the way it is when we live and acquire wealth apart from the blessing of God. When God gives us wealth, He also gives us taste buds. We can taste the fine things of life and enjoy them. Now, we are to honor these boundaries. We are to honor God's blessing upon us and upon others. And in this way, God envisions what we might call a free society. When I say free, I do not mean a society where everybody lives autonomously or according to their own law. That's not a free society according to God. Because you have to remember that in the Bible, freedom does not mean the right to do whatever you want. Freedom in the Bible means the power to do what you should and thus to live under the blessing of God. So he envisions a free society under the blessing of God where boundaries are acknowledged at every level. Because in the providence of God, all human authority is limited. The authority of civil government is limited. God spells out a sphere and purposes which it is to fulfill, and it's not to do anything more than that. It's not to encroach beyond those boundaries. God gives church authority and government. That's the worshiping community. But again, it's prescribed. It has a certain sphere. And the same thing with family. And no human authority is unlimited. It's all as envisioned by God, exercised within the boundaries and for the purposes that he specifies, and the same thing is true of individuals. When all of this is operating the way God prescribes, you have a free society. And part of that freedom is that God blesses in his providence different peoples in different ways, and we acknowledge that. He gives us the power to get wealth. He gives us the ability to enjoy ourselves under our own vine and fig tree, which he gave to us and which he wants us to be thankful to him and to have others that we share that with. Now, the implications of that continue to work their way out. He says, do not use differing weights and balances. When you use differing weights and balances, in other words, when you cheat somebody else, you're stealing. You're stealing because you're not recognizing and thanking God for his good providence to them. You're unjustly taking something from them that God has given them. He also tells us, do not love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself, which means do not take advantage of the hardships of your neighbor. Okay? If your neighbor's undergoing a hardship, do not automatically conclude that they're somehow cursed. They may be going under this hardship because God's blessing them. I mean, Joseph was blessed by God the entire time he was going through all those hardships, right? Jesus was blessed by God when he was undergoing the hardships of the cross and so forth. It did not mean an automatic curse. And so the Bible tells us that we are to care for the orphan and the widow. And really, orphan and widow, those are emblematic of those who are in the providence of God going through hard times. It says we're to care for them, we're to exercise mercy toward them and all who are going through hard times in that way. We're not to take advantage of that. When somebody's going through a hard time, if they're going through a hard financial time, you can put pressure on them. You can put pressure on them to take loans at interest that they shouldn't. You can put pressure on them to put their house up for equity. You can put pressure and take advantage of them because they're in hard circumstances. The Bible says do not do that. That's really another form of theft. It's another form of failing to give glory to God for his blessings to us and to other people. All of this and more is what God has in mind in the Eighth Commandment. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.